must the Lord have for us today? As I was sitting over there just confessing and repenting and getting my temple cleaned up to deliver the word, what I just thought, Lord, man, there's a downpour outside, but man, I can't help but believe God's got a downpour for you this morning for getting here. He's got something. You already got downpoured on outside. So I'm believing the Spirit of God is going to downpour on us. So what must he have? Let's jump right into this word. I'm ready to birth it because I believe there is some amazing thing God has for us in this. So does anybody have anything you have been circling over your kids continually? Something you've been praying over your kids, something you've been speaking over your kids just over and over and over, you know, like Dory, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just, what do you do? Okay, I'm going to my Disney. I'm going to do my Disney because I do know it by heart. Well, today I'm going to be talking about this concept of circling. And I'm going to be telling you, just keep circling, Mom. Just keep circling. My youngest, I've told you before, has a complaining tongue. And what, as I'm seeing as he's getting older, it's not only a complaining tongue, but it is a I have a better way than you're telling me mindset. Often, John William, when I tell him the plan, if he doesn't concur with that plan, he resists and bucks that plan because to him, he's got a better plan. So there's this thing I've been circling over him, Philippians 2:14. If you have Steve Green, hide him in your heart. If you don't, go to the Amazon and order it. Play it in your van, play it in your car. It's a DVD or it's a tape. You can get it on Spotify. We even listened with my 15-year-old and 12-year-old driving to school Tuesday morning. Do everything without complaining. Do everything without arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without complaining. Anybody know that? Anybody have that in your car already? Because John William was complaining. So I just put that thing right up on Spotify. I was like, you're 12 years old. Doesn't matter to me. You're going to listen to this on the way to school. Hide them in your heart. Steve Green, I mean, it's old, y'all, but it is the word and it's put to music. It's got trust in the Lord with all your heart. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Steve Green, hide them, not them, hide E-M in your heart. It is on, like I said, it's on Spotify because we pulled it out this week. So I've just been circling this prayer around John William. It's a constant prayer. And some of you can relate. Maybe you've got a child that's just goes to anger really quick. Whatever it is, there is this teaching that I'm teaching out of. This was back in 2015 when God gave me this teaching. And we were in the middle of this book, Praying Circles Around the Lives of Your Children, a phenomenal resource by Mark Batterson. We actually got rid of all of our copies on the last day of Moms with Swords last session. And that's really where this teaching was birthed out of, just this idea of praying circles, praying something over your child over and over and over. I do see glimpses in John William at times, but it doesn't deter me from to continually pray in this prayer. God, give him just, because at the end of the day, it's a resistance to authority. And that is my prince. I will kiss his face off. I love him more. I will fight you for him. But let me tell you something. He has a resistance to authority. And so I have to do my job and get at that. And the best way to get at that is with my weapon, which is the Word of God. This, for you little moms with littles, this is another amazing way to pray scriptures over your child, to circle your child. Praying the scriptures over your children by Jody Burnt. This is, that just takes it a little bit. This has like, you know, praying for your child to promote God's kingdom. Praying for self-control, diligence, self-discipline. Praying for physical health and safety. This is even great for those of us with older kids. Praying for your kids in crisis. Just all about using our weapon, which is the Word of God. Here at Moms with Swords, listen, we believe in the Word of God. I teach, but my teaching is based on the Word of God. There is nothing that will win a battle in your marriage, in your job, with your kids. There's nothing that will win a battle except when we fight with our weapon, which is our sword, which is the Word of God. Anyone ever heard of a Jericho March? Anyone ever done a Jericho March? Yeah. Anybody ever done it around your school? Yeah, when Sydney was going into middle school, I literally felt like I was ushering her into the lion's den. Like, here, okay, there you go. But middle school has ended up with all three of my kids, and I've got just a sixth grader, the last one, is my favorite years. Hear me say that to you moms that are scared of it. It is my favorite years. Middle school, oh, hard, yes. Hard, but my favorite years. And I remember when Sydney was starting, and I was like, gosh, just the lion's den. So we Jericho marched around her middle school. I actually did a middle school, elementary school back a couple years ago. I got a couple messages from a couple of our moms here. There's something going on weird at their elementary school. And it wasn't even, I didn't have a dog in the fight. But I really felt this stirring to go and do this Jericho March. So we went and marched and circled this school in prayer, and God moved. And as a mom, there's just some behaviors, some overflows of the heart, if we're willing to see them. Because listen, if it's cute at 2, it ain't cute at 12. Let me say that again. It is cute at 2. But please get a hold of it, because it's not cute at 12 or 15 or 17 or 18. We've got to see these behaviors going on in our kids' heart. And sometimes God's just going to say, I just need you to circle that. You see that. Okay, I've given you the eyes to see it. And we're talking, if you ask God to give you the eyes to see it, you can see some things in a 2-year-old. That are going to carry that, if we're not dealing with it and cultivating it and gardening that, they're going to carry it on into their teen years when it's not cute and when it's much harder, y'all, to uproot. That's why I love Moms with Swords, and I love that you mamas, how many of you have like one child and they're under 2? Or 2 children? I just have little ones. Y'all, I am so proud of you. If I had a donut, I'd give you a donut, because I love every mom here, but I love you young moms getting this word to learn how to plant things in the hearts of your kids so early, to learn how to get at heart behaviors, not just discipline. But to get to the root of stuff, I love that you're here and listening by podcast or in here in person. There's just something that God will do when we circle using His name, His word in prayer. There will be walls that come down. We're going to look at a story, very familiar story, in Joshua chapter 6. And I believe this story holds many treasures about mothering. I mean, who thought the Battle of Jericho could apply to a mama? But as I search this, it really does. Now, we're going to start in Joshua 6, but I want to go to Joshua 4, which is, I told you this last week if you were here, which is so cool with this whole stone of remembrance that the Lord would have me start this session with this teaching. I did not know much about these stones and about the story in Joshua 2 about the stones of remembrance, and now we're Joshua 6. It's just so cool. I just love how God puts this all together. In Joshua 4:14, we see that Moses has died, and Joshua is the one appointed to lead his people to the promised land. Remember, Moses wasn't going to get to do it. He disobeyed, and he's not going to get to do it. He's the one appointed to lead his people to the promised land. But as we know how God works, it didn't come easy. There's some battling to do to get to the promised land. And here in Joshua 4:14, we see God makes Joshua great. Let's read Joshua 4:14. It says, "On that day, the Lord magnified and exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of their life, of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses." A key fact here for in this story, but I believe it is for us moms. They trusted their leader. They trusted their leader. They trusted him. Mom, do you trust your leader with your kids? Do you know that God loves your kids more than you do? A crazy thought, because I know you, like me, you can't even imagine anybody loving your kid more than you. But I promise you, God loves them so much more than we do. And we have got to trust him with this work he wants to do in their life. Because listen, you were just the housing unit. You were just the quiver holder, remember? God has loaned them to us. They are to make his name famous, not your family name. He is to make him have much glory, not your family. I use this example a lot, but y'all know my oldest is going to Georgia for softball. Softball's been her thing her whole life, and she's now going to go play SEC softball, and I am a crazy softball mom. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time, and I'll yell it anyway, but I am crazy. But listen, her getting this platform to go play SEC ball is not to make Sydney's name famous. It is to make God's name famous. Let me tell you just a little caveat, just because I haven't even told my sister this. So when Sydney first signed to play ball her freshman year, I started praying for two of her teammates that would be sold out to the Lord. I'm like, just give her two, God. Just give her two. And if you know the world of softball, sports in general, can be a little scary. But I started praying, and I started circling. And just last week, Sydney got a text from one girl that's coming from Florida that's going to play with her next year. Radically saved, gave her heart to the Lord, is on fire for Jesus. And then there's a girl that's there now that has already been reaching out to Sydney about all the campus ministries they're going to go to together. Two. Y'all, you don't know, you don't think God will answer and that he loves your kids? Two, I asked for two, and God has given me two teammates. But look, it's not for them to go, listen, now, y'all know her softball coaches are back there, her hitting coach in particular. We owe a lot of this too. I'm praying she breaks home run records and she breaks lots of records, and I will go crazy for that. But y'all, I'm praying that God transforms a softball team for his renown and his fame through my girl, through your kids on their dance team, on your sports teams. Listen, it's not for them to get to college for whatever it is or to get to the next level at whatever it is. Right now, God has them strategically placed because he loves them so much more than you do, and it's all about making his name famous. You need to walk into every practice your kid goes to, every team your child is on, with a spiritual lens. God, what do you need us to do on this team to make your name famous? Now, if my kid can shine in the process, that's great. Because we're all mamas, right? We love it. But it's all about Jesus shining. Let your light shine before men so that they see your good deeds and glorify who? The Chambleys? No. Him, your father. He loves them so much more than we do. And he has a plan, and it's all about making him famous. Wherever he's planted your family, robotics, swim, dance, football, whatever it is, mama, look through the lens of a spiritual vision. God, how does my baby play a part in your great plan on this particular team? So God commissions Joshua. Go to Joshua 1, verse 2. We see that God's commissioning Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Man, just those verses. I mean, that's just a word. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This chapter is where we hear the be strong and courageous. It's referenced three times in 9 verses. How many of you have told your kids that? Buddy, be strong and courageous. Sweetie, be strong and courageous. So God, look here, he goes ahead and tells Joshua the end result. Did you catch that? Joshua 1:3, he says, I have given you. God already said, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. And then he promises to be with them. He goes ahead and tells them, but yet here they are in chapter 6 in front of Jericho. Do you ever wish God would just go ahead and tell you, your kids are going to be great. They're going to marry an actuary, or they're going to be an actuary. That means that's a really smart person in math. My husband works with some of them. I don't know, but I know that they make a lot of money and they're really smart. And that they're going to have this college degree and they're going to have children and you're going to be a grandmother and they are never going to be sick. They're going to be healthy. I mean, just sometimes we wish God would just tell us. We just wish he would just tell us, but he doesn't, does he? That would make the Jerichos that we are going to face as moms so much easier. If we just knew, God, you just like he tells Joshua, I'm going to give it to you. But yet we do know, y'all. We have his promises. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. Never will I leave you alone. I will be with you. My righteous right hand will guide you. We have his promises that he's going to work all things out for good. So in the midst of our Jerichos, while he hasn't specifically said to you, this is going to work out, we still know it's going to work out. But we get paralyzed by our Jerichos. We get paralyzed by our Jerichos. Let's look at the Israelites. Jericho was what they were up against. And we're going to see if we can't find some similarities to the Jerichos that we face when it comes to our lives. So Joshua chapter 6. I'm just going to read this. If you have your Bible, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I just want to read a few. The citizens of Jericho had barricaded themselves behind its high walls because of the Israelite forces. No one could get in or out. So Joshua arose early, and the Israelites passed before him, tribe by tribe. First, the tribe of Judah was chosen by lot from the clans of Judah. To the clan of Zehahites were chosen. So Joshua goes, and verse 19, he says, my son, I urge you now to show honor and thanksgiving to the eternal one, the God of Israel, and confess. Tell me what you have done and tell the... Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I skipped to 7. Oh, sorry. Sorry. My Bible stayed stuck together. I have given Jericho, here we go, verse 2. I have given Jericho, its kings, and all its soldiers into your hands. Every day for the next 6 days, you will march once around the city. Walls with all your fighting force. 7 priests will go in front of the covenant chest, each carrying a trumpet made from a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you will march around the city walls 7 times, and the priests will blow their trumpets. When they play a long final blast, then all the people will give a mighty shout. The city walls will collapse in front of you, and all the Israelites will charge and take in the city. So here we are, Jericho. 6:1 says, Jericho, it was a shut up, a fortified city. The gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came out. I just want to give you a picture. Anne has a picture of possibly what Jericho looked like, y'all. It is said that these walls were 46 feet high. There were 2 walls, an inner and an outer, and they were built on a slope. So not only were they high, but they were impenetrable. And yet God is telling them, you're going to take this city. Is anybody right now facing something in your marriage with a child? It's a Jericho. The wall in front of you looks impenetrable. This is exactly what they were facing. Jericho was the same place that a wee little man named Zacchaeus was up a tree. This is where they were. Moses had brought them out of Egypt and to the borders of the promised land, Canaan. And Jericho was the first city to be taken. Here they are, fresh out of slavery, fresh out of Pharaoh's rule, out of the wilderness, a new leader, a new hope, and yet here they are facing something that looked impossible. Can anyone relate? They are staring at impossible walls. But y'all, remember, they've dealt with impossibilities before. Moses put his staff in a Red Sea and it parted. They have made it so far. But yet they're so fearful of this city. I read that verse this morning that it was a shut up, fortified city. And I felt like the Lord say, that's some of us as moms. We're just so weary from the fight. We're just so weary from the Jerichos that are constant. Some of you are constantly facing sickness battles with kids or marriage battles. You're just, God showed me this morning that some of your hearts are just locked up tight. And I believe today God wants to bring those walls down. Some of our kids' hearts are just shut up. They're just resistant to anything. And God is telling us today, Don't look at the height of those walls. You keep doing the job I've given you. You keep speaking the word. You keep sowing the word. I promise at the appointed time, I'm going to bring the walls down. I will do it. Joshua, in Joshua 1:9, God commissions him and tells him, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." I know it's because God knew what they were going to face. And y'all, he's telling you that same thing this morning. Mom, yes, it's coming down the road. Middle school's coming. Preschool's coming. Teenage years are coming. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, this is why we can battle our Jerichos. For the Lord your God will be with you, Mom, wherever you go. As he was with Joshua, Mom, he is with you. You may feel this morning that God is, he's just not listening. He's not answering. You have been praying. You have been circling. And God is saying, "I'm still hearing you. I promise." I've been praying that prayer for Sid for 4 years. And like she's going in August. And God finally allowed us to see the fruition of a prayer that I prayed for 4 years. And some of you have been praying for less, some of you have been praying for more, but don't give up. Because every victory is going to give you confidence for the next wall. Every stone of remembrance, remember? That was the whole purpose of the stones. When your children ask, you tell them of the faithfulness of God. Mama, you just need to go back to the bank of stones. And remember what God has done in the past. Don't let the enemy keep you just circling Jericho. It's so big, it's so wide, it's so, this is impossible. You go back. The devil does not want you to remember the great work he did in your marriage 5 years ago or the great work he did in a kid two years ago. It's up to us to go back and remember, and knowing this gives us confidence for the next. God, you were faithful here, so I know you'll be faithful in the next. Okay, and number two in my points of bringing this around to motherhood, their method of marching around the city. Did you catch any of that? Their method of marching around the city. Look at Joshua 6:3. So they were very high walls, and God is telling them here in Joshua 6:3, march around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Now, according to military, and some of you have husbands in the military, according to military intelligence, this makes absolutely no sense. They would have been totally exposed to their enemy. Totally exposed to their enemy. They were in plain sight. But again, what does this show us? This shows us where their trust was, where they believed in their leader. They trusted their leader. When he tells us to do things that does not make sense, y'all, do we do it anyway? Or are you like my little John William and give 5 ways of a better way? Some of you are probably like John William. Help me after, see me after, and help me learn how to correct him. But some of us, it's just, it's easier for us, and some of us, it's harder for us. It makes no sense, God, so I don't know that I can do it. But y'all, when has God ever been in the business of making sense? Think of this word in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 and 28. But God has selected for his purpose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, revealing their ignorance. And God has selected for his purpose the weak things of the world to shame the things which are so, revealing their frailty. So that no one may be able to boast in the presence of God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways, Mom, believe it or not, your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. How many of you, God has done like a 180 in your family at times? Like you're just like, this just makes no sense, God. This makes no sense. But we've got to put our trust in our leader even when he doesn't make sense. We've got to trust him. We've got to know he's asking us to do something that doesn't make sense. Listen, there have been friends that have come into my kids' lives that I immediately was like, closing my gate to. Not good for my kids. And some of them I kept my gate closed to, and some of them God said, you better open your gate to them. Made no sense. I don't want my kid around her or him. But I have to trust my leader. So I opened my gate to some of these friends with extreme discernment to the Spirit. With extreme discernment, knowing God was telling me to do it. God was saying, I want your family around these kids. Do not close your gate to them. And y'all, the fruit that has come forth because of that, believe and trust God even when you don't understand what he's doing. If you know God's told you, get around some friends that'll build your faith. Because listen, a lot of people don't celebrate faith. I met with a mom about a year ago. She was believing God for something preposterous, audacious. And I looked at her and I could tell God had told her that this was gonna happen. And so I looked at her and I said, I'm believing in Jesus' name with you. But you get around some of the spies, remember that went into the, and surveyed the land. They came back, oh, we're like grasshoppers. We can't defeat them. And Joshua and Caleb were like, oh, yes, we can. Those are the kind of mamas that you need to surround yourself with. Mamas that will believe the crazy things that God is wanting to do. Get around some crazy mamas. Get around some faith-filled people all the time. You know, I'm a faith-filled preacher. I am a faith preacher. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So yes, I'm going to believe God for some crazy things. A softball team. Do you understand what kind of girls can be on softball teams, God? But I'm praying for two sold out. And some of the girls that make really bad choices are leaving this year before my daughter even gets there. I got around some people. My husband was even like, Joy, okay, whatever. So when she texts, he was the first. She told him first because she always tells him all the softball stuff first. Then I get to know. And I just, when he got home, I was like, What did I pray? I just kept walking around the house going, two. You get around some faith-filled mamas when God tells you to pray for something for your kid that believe with you that God can do it. Oh, sweetest sound. Do you think Abraham understood God in Genesis 12:1 when he says, Abraham, get up. Go, leave everything you've known, and then I'm gonna show you. Did Abraham go, oh, let me do a spreadsheet first of what will work and what will not work? That's what some of you mamas do. Well, God, let me, I know you want us to do this way, but if this is so much better, God is saying my ways are not your ways. Trust your leader, mama, even when it doesn't make sense. And now this is my favorite point. This is my favorite, because I would so fail this test. Did you notice in chapter 6, verse 10, God tells them, do not shout. Actually, you shall not shout the battle cry. Listen, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word come out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So here they are, facing impenetrable walls, fully exposed to their enemies, and now they can't even talk. Are you kidding? There must have been all men in those 400, 600,000 people. 400 or six of my husband, because my husband is not a talker. There could not have been women, even though I know there was. Y'all, I mean, how many women could keep their mouth quiet? Moms, how much time do we spend talking about our Jerichos? To another mom, we talk about how high our walls are, the things that are wrong with our kids, our husbands. We love to talk, text, email, Facebook, Instagram, how hard mothering is, so hard, so hard. And hear their leader that they trust is saying, don't talk, don't you talk. Why is he telling them not to talk? I did some research on their track record. Just on their track record, because I know none of us are doing any of the things that they did. Numbers 11:1, none of us can identify. One day the Israelites started complaining about their troubles. Exodus 16:2, the whole community of Israelites began complaining again. That was in the Bible, again. Exodus 16:2, there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. Are you understanding their pattern? And possibly the reason God said, shut up. Are you understanding that God is telling them, don't say a word? And I believe God is telling us this morning, please stop telling me how big it is. Please stop telling me how hard it is. Please stop telling me how impenetrable it is, how impossible it is. Because please know that I am the God of impossibilities. Please start circling that and just saying that. With God, all things are possible. Go into your child's bedroom that continually bites at preschool and say, God, all things are possible with you, over and over, instead of talking about how bad it is, how big it is, how impossible it is. Start talking about how great your God is and how God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. Let's start letting that come out of our mouth. And there was a point in this, in these particular parts of the scripture, in 6 through 11, I want to read it really quick because it stuck out to me so much, 6 through 11. So Joshua, the son of Nun, summoned the priests and instructed them, take up the chest and have 7 priests, each carrying a ram's horn trumpet, march in front of the covenant chest of the Eternal. Then he gave the orders to the people, march around the city with the fighting men marching ahead of the chest of the Eternal, which would be the ark. So they all proceeded as Joshua had commanded them. The fighting men led the way. The 7 priests marched after them, blowing their horns continually in front of the covenant chest of the Eternal, and the rear guard followed behind. Joshua gave the Israelites very strict instructions. Don't yell or shout. Don't let your voice be heard until the day I tell you, and then I want you to shout with all your might. Listen, the presence of God was always in their midst. In their circling, y'all, the Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God. Because back then, remember, Jesus has not come. He's not been born, crucified, risen again. So they had the Ark. It was constantly in their midst, the presence and power of God. If we can't talk about anything, we can keep our focus on Him. If I can just concentrate on the presence of God, I'm in a constant state of listening. Listen, we now house as believers the presence of God. So every Jericho you come up against, you've got the very presence and power of God within you. Start remembering that your leader, he's in you, he's for you. and let it shift our focus off the battle that is before us and remember who is inside of us. Shift our focus off the battle before us and remember the power and presence that is within us. In the midst of us doing the battle for our kids, for our marriages, for our husband, in the midst of that battle, stop talking about the battle and just keep God's presence before you. Keep his word on your tongue. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Like when you got a problem, y'all, it's probably not a good idea to go turn on Pretty Little Liars or some show like that. When you got a Jericho, you need the praise of the Almighty, the presence, the power of God to be on your tongue, to be in your ears, and to be before your eyes. God's saying, don't talk about the Jericho. I gotta hurry. And it leads me to my last point. The Lord commanded Joshua to have the Israelites do one last thing: shout. On the seventh day, look at 6:5, or verse 5, chapter 6. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Now listen to what shout. In this shout in the Hebrew language, because we're in the Old Testament, so it's the Hebrew language, is ruah. And the definition by secular definitions is utter a loud call or cry, typically as an expression of strong emotion. But this shout right here in Joshua 6:5 is ruah. And listen to what it means: to split the ears with sound. Anybody got a 2-year-old that can do that? To mar, especially by breaking. And I love the Amplified that says, don't give the battle cry yet, because a battle cry is a rallying cry. Woo, that's a cry that comes from deep within. And it's uttered in combat, especially while attacking. A shout uttered by soldiers that would be going into battle. See, moms, sometimes you just gotta shout the Jericho down. Sometimes you've just got to go into that child's room and pray over that pillow. Circle that room. Circle that bathroom. You got to go into your husband's closet and believe God to change behavior, to believe God to change patterns. You must do it. Some things will not come out only but with a shout. A battle cry. No, let it well up from within you. No, I believe that shout that they gave was a shout of faith, because I believe in their marching. I believe the whole point of this story is faith. They get a bad rap, but listen to what Hebrews 11:30 says. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. I believe marching around those walls for 7 days brought about remembrances of what God had done. They couldn't talk. All they could do was think. And what does the Bible say about thinking? Think on these things, whatever is true, whatever is admirable. Think on these things. When you can't talk, you just think. And I believe they marched around that city and they just thought about the faithfulness of God, what he had done. You go into that child's room, don't talk, put on some worship music, and you just circle in prayer. I believe they got full of faith. And so when they shouted, it was belief. Listen to this. Faith, living by faith, means you're acting on belief. They were acting on the belief that God had always done it before, so he was going to do it again. If he says the walls are coming down, mom, the walls are coming down. We have to believe what he says. Look at Psalm 47:5. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. A lot of our churches don't like that verse. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Anybody know that song? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Y'all need to download that song. It's Hillsong. Shout unto God. Mom, you got to find your rallying cry. You got to find it. I want to help you find it this morning. It comes from deep within. God, I don't understand. God, I don't like this, but I believe, I trust in you. So I'm going to do it anyway. You got to find your shout. Sometimes you just got to shout your walls down. I truly believe that their faith and trust in who they knew God to be is what brought those walls down. It tells us in the Bible, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Mom, you got to stop living with the remembrance or the visions of your Jericho and live with the vision and the remembrance of who your God is. I don't care what you're facing today. And listen, I know some of you've got some hard things you're dealing with, husbands, marriages, kids, job situations, people. I know you've got some hard things, but if all you do is talk about those hard things, all that does is feed the unbelief. God is saying, feed your faith. Feed your faith. Believe me that the walls will fall in Jesus' name. I want you all to stand, and we're going to play a song, and prayer team's going to be back there. If you're facing something, if you're saying, that's me, Joy, I've been complaining, I am the Israelites, I get it, I'm going where the Israelites go, I complain about it, I can identify with that, I can go from zero to scared in 5 seconds. And I just get all worked up. Some of you are just saying, you just need prayer because you're facing something hard. But I just felt like the Lord, when I was preparing yesterday, I just felt like God saying, I want you to pray. I want you to pray over my daughters that faith would rise up. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the staircase. If that's you this morning, Mom, I'm just going to believe that God is going to just downpour an audacious amount of faith over you. That audacious means the recklessly bold, recklessly brave, fearless. I want to say to you what God said to Joshua, Mom, be strong and courageous. Let God allow faith to arise in you. So I just want to pray for that this morning before you go to small groups. And if you don't need to pray, just stay quietly in your seat. And if people need to pray, go pray, and then you can go to your small groups. But I just really believe God wants to deposit some faith in some mamas this morning. So let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you, God, for the word, your word that's gone forth, God. I just believe, God, for a downpour. You spoke it to me yesterday. So God, you know, again, I just am stepping out there believing that you said it. Okay, I'm gonna pray it. I just believe you're going to give a downpour of faith to these moms. God, faith is what pleases you. God, I love in the New Testament, the centurion that went to you to heal his daughter, like you, it says you marveled at his faith. God, I pray for the mom that is standing here depleted of faith. because of the Jerichos, because of the insurmountable walls that have happened in her life. God, I pray for that mom. God, I pray that you would prick her heart even right now in Jesus' name, that she would know it's me, it's me, it's me. God, would you just pursue her? Would you love her? Would you cloak her, God, with your spirit right now, that she feels, I've got you, baby. I've got you. I know. I've heard you. And I'm coming to rescue. Don't give up. To that mom that's just depleted and empty and has been around people that just deplete her faith. God, I just pray right now in this moment, God, that you would give a reservoir of faith, a reservoir of hope, trusting you, a dose of trust. We can have faith to believe you because we trust you. So God, I pray for that also to be deposited in these moms. God, we wait for you in this moment. And we trust you, God, to deposit in every heart what needs to be deposited. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.